WGNSTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan along with Ed Sullivan. We'll be talking about the Notre Dame-Pitt matchup coming up and how significant this game is as the Irish continue through the second half of the season. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or go to the website and post your comments there. Ed, this is a huge game. It reminds me of, I hate to say the name, Willingham's last year, where you go into this final stretch drive with a couple winnable games against mid-tier opponents like Pitt. And 0-4, we didn't get it done. And I think it's really a moment for this team to clearly demonstrate what direction the program's headed. If you lose to Pittsburgh, all the questions come back. This is a game where you step on the gas and you leave the middling programs in your rearview mirror.
Oh, that's, I think, completely true. And that's the thing that is so disappointing. We thought we had put that behind us in 05-06 because we kind of took care of business on that issue. And now here we find ourselves right back into that. And I think you've identified it perfectly, the momentum behind the program. We need to keep that going. The notion that we can beat a quality opponent, that we don't self-destruct, all those things are really teed up in this game. And it is like 04 because it's Pitt again at the same time of the year. So it's a little scary in that sense. It's right around Halloween. There's a little scariness to this game.
Boo! it's okay. Yeah, okay. We'll be okay.
All right.
I think when you look back at that 04 game against Pitt, some of the things that were hanging in the balance, people were talking Cotton Bowl, Gator Bowl. We're at the same point, the same type of bowl scenarios. It was great to pick up the South Bend Tribune this week and see an article about bowl scenarios, where are the Irish going to end up? And personally, I think it would be a huge success if this season, if we do nothing else but win a bowl game, end that stupid streak, this season's a success.
Oh. Listen, that's no small feat. To say that, hey, I'd take that. Hell yes, we'd take that. It's been a long, long time. And that's something that the pundits can hang over us. And frankly, I'm a little nervous about that. We have this little disagreement. I did a little bit of look back into this. But I think Notre Dame's media attention tends to put it sometimes in a bowl. People will grab Notre Dame for a bowl game, even when our performance may not justify that particular bowl game. And that explains some of the reasons that we've gone down on some of these bowl games over the years. I mean, you could argue that maybe we shouldn't have been playing LSU or Ohio State given where we were in those years. You're giving me a face. I'm not trying to make that argument. I'm just saying that, getting into a bowl game this year when we may not really be ready for it, I'm not sure is the best.
Well, we were not going to be there if we're not ready for it. The only way we get there is if we take care of business against the likes of Pitt, et cetera. Look, I'm saying 8-4 is what we talked about all year long. If that's what most
you talked about,
right-thinking Americans talked about all year.
I'm pretty close to. Let's put it this way: the crow is in the oven. We're deciding what sauce to put on it when I eat it.
Okay, I can live with that. But at this point, if you go 9-3, 8-4. A reasonable bowl game against a beatable opponent is definitely in the cards. That's why this game is so important to, we have an opportunity to play on January 1. You take care of business here, and I would love to see an opportunity to play an ACC matchup, maybe in the Gator Bowl, something like that. I tell you what I don't want to see.
That.
Yeah, you know what I don't want to see? I don't want any part of a Big 12 matchup in the Cotton Bowl against maybe a Missouri or somebody like that.
I agree. See, that's what I'm saying. Like our program marquee value might ratchet us up a level when we're really not ready, as young as we are. In that sense, it might look a little more like 87 Holtz, which, if I knew it was the analogy was 87 Holtz and we came back with the 88 team, I might take that this year. But of course, we can't control those things.
Well, let's look at the matchup with Pitt here a little bit. I think going into the year, we all felt like playing at home, this is a game we could win. And then Pitt maybe has been a little bit better than people thought. But right when they're on the cusp of sort of vaulting into the top 15, they completely lay an egg against Rutgers, give up a ridiculous 50-some points, 500 yards offense, tons of rushing yards. It was just an embarrassing performance by Pitt last week against Rutgers. So I don't know what to expect. I mean, on the one hand, I want Pitt to win that game so that they come in highly ranked. We knock them off. We all know how to play those games, right?
Right.
On the other hand, seeing their vulnerabilities defensively, maybe that's not such a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm more in the second category. I'm okay seeing those vulnerabilities. We need to win. I don't care if they're ranked or unranked. People are hammering us for not having a win over a ranked opponent. That North Carolina was very disappointing in that regard. But the truth is, we need to mount wins, keep the momentum going. Let's forget about all that other pundit commentary. Here's the points Pitt's given up this year in their games. 27 against Bowling Green, 16 to Buffalo, 20 to Iowa, 24 to Syracuse, 21 to South Florida, 21 to Navy, and 54 to Rutgers. So, you know, I think Charlie Weiss, Jimmy Clausen, Michael Floyd are licking their chops against a defense that has given up some numbers like that. But they've put some numbers up as well. And so, and we do not have an overpowering defense.
Yeah, the matchups, obviously, our offense seems to be, I mean, we misfired a little bit against Washington and sleptwalked through that game to a certain degree and still had, you know, good numbers. But we know that we're capable of better performance than Clausen and company showed in the second quarter. But overall, you look at the development of this offense, and there's no reason to think, playing at home against a suspect Pitt defense, that we're not going to have a good productive day. So what does that do? Maybe that makes Pitt have to play catch-up, get them out of their comfort zone, which is running the football. And so our defense, a little inconsistent, but playing at home with emotion behind you, and then if you can get on top of them and make them get out of their running game, that might set up a real good scenario for our defense to play well.
Well, our two losses are the formula that Pitt is going to be studying, and that is that Michigan State established ringer, okay, and just, you know, pound, 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 and we eventually broke down, and this applies to both North Carolina and Michigan State, turnovers. If we can, if they can pressure Clausen, if they can make him make a mistake, make him throw a lot to the point that he might make a mistake, try and force something in there, and that totally explains our two losses. And so, for my money, preserving, like protecting the football, is absolutely numero uno in this game. We can't have Jimmy making throwing interceptions, trying to get out of a scramble and throwing something downfield, trying to force something in.
Yeah, no question. The offense has been virtually unstoppable when we protect the football. And, you know, the turnovers, that's been the one area where you look at Clausen and say, as a young guy early in his career, he's still turning the ball over a little too much. Oh, no question about it. I mean, you know, you look at where Quinn was at and the only, and his senior year, and the one clear difference in the stats, the turnovers. Quinn, as a veteran guy, just did not make those kinds of mistakes. But he did when he was a freshman and sophomore. And his touchdown-interception ratio completely turned around his junior and senior year. And I think you're going to see Clausen develop along the same lines. But right now, that's still an area where, you know, makes you, you know, if we can avoid those things, we're pretty unstoppable. But, you know, you said something about if they can make Clausen throw enough. I don't think it's in Pitt's interest to take a defensive approach that says, let's make Clausen throw it 50 times. If Clausen's throwing it 40 times, you know, 50 times or whatever, I think Pitt's in for a long day. Their secondary is not the strength of that team.
Well, that's a good point, but I'm just thinking in terms of trying to make a Charlie Weiss offense one-dimensional, not two-dimensional. If Clausen knows that he can mix it up, if he can be balanced, if they're in that comfort zone like we were in against Stanford, okay, being able to do both things, frankly, the way we played in the first half against North Carolina, where we could mix in some run. Armando Allen had some good runs, popped some good runs in
well,
there.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, I think if you look at the – and Watson talked about this. If you look at the first series against North Carolina, we came out with an empty backfield and threw it 15 straight times. That's as one-dimensional as it's going to get, and that was by choice and design. And see, I think a Charlie Weiss offense, when it's at its best, can morph into whatever we need it to morph into. So I don't know that – look, if we throw it 50 times because we want to, I guess that's the difference. That's great. If we throw it 50 times because we're down 21-0 in the third quarter, that's a different kind of one-dimensional.
All right, but if you're Wonstead, and won't you think about putting eight people in the box, coming with everything, lots of making them throw lots of short, quick things, you know, and making them one-dimensional in that sense, and trying to make a mistake.
Well, I look bringing pressure.
is probably never a bad idea for people, right? Don't let the quarterback get comfortable and yada, yada, yada. However, I don't think that I would, if I was playing Notre Dame with the skill guys we have on the outside, Tate, Floyd, et cetera, I don't think I would be in a bring the house kind of mode and take my chances one-on-one with Michael Floyd catching the ball and taking a five-yard pass 60 yards for a touchdown. Golden Tate, every time he touches the ball, is a threat to score. I don't know. I think Pitt's got some real obstacles. This is a good offense, a developing offense that Pitt has to stop. We got a lot of weapons.
Well, I would concede the short stuff. Make Notre Dame pass the ball down the field with short things as the field shortens. Try and force Clausen into a mistake.
Well,
that's just one thing I'm throwing out there.
No, that's interesting. We'll see how they approach it. Now, a different set of questions is, how does Notre Dame stop Pitt's dynamic running back, LeSean McCoy? He's tough, and we recruited him when he was a senior in high school. I remember following that recruiting, and I don't think he was I know he wasn't an academic qualifier, you know, so Notre Dame kind of got off of him. But early on, he was a really, really top-flight recruit that everybody wanted.
Well, I might have a similar recipe in the sense of bringing the pressure and putting a lot of people in the box, because I think we have skilled people on our defensive backfield. And I might be willing to take a chance of those guys and saying, you're just going to have to be one-on-one with them and not get beat deep and bring an extra man in the interior.
I agree with you completely in that sense, because Pitt does not have Jimmy Clausen and Michael Floyd and Golden Tate. I think we do have to take more of an approach of let's make them beat us throwing the ball. Now, the problem is that kid for North Carolina had a pretty good day. An unheralded quarterback had a pretty good day against us.
Which is sort of the tradition.
But again, playing at home, our defense is going to be just that much better, that much quicker. I mean, that's what home field advantage does to you. You know, it does make the visiting team a little more tentative. Being tentative makes you a little slower.
Comfort level issues, sleeping in your own bed and all the routine, those kinds of things.
So, you know, I'm expecting this team that's developing a sense of how to win. It's hungry for it. It's tasted it a little bit, wants more of it. And I expect that they're going to come out with the crowd behind them and really turn in a great performance. That may shock you to hear that I expect us to play well and win at home.
But I expect us to play well, too, and I expect us to win. But I think that this is – we're young enough that we're – and uneven enough that this is – we're not in the phase of 05, 06 where you'd say – look, we've got the horses and we got the coaching and, you know, we should just go out there and be able to do this. I think the next 2 weeks are up for grabs. And they'll tell a lot about how mature this team is. Although I will say this, even if we go 0-2 in the next 2 weeks, it's not going to – we should stop this questioning about, like, is what's wrong with the program and is he the right guy and all that. I think we need to start putting that to arrest. Now, if we go get blown out the next 2 weeks, but that's not going to happen.
It's an interesting question. 0-2, I think, makes those questions totally relevant. You know, splitting, I don't think, does. And 2-0 makes them go away, in my mind.
We're a mediocre team with some young, talented people that are still finding ourselves. And if a sophomore quarterback goes out and throws a couple of stupid passes, we get a pick six and we end up losing to Pitt.
It's
not a statement about the program.
I don't know. I don't think losing to Pitt at home with what you have on the line, this is what we indicted Willingham on in that third year. They had a lot to play for, and to turn the direction of the program around with wins at home against BC and Pitt in 04 and get a January 1 bowl bid, that was what was in front of them, and they couldn't get it done. And that wasn't a talent issue. At this point, our young talent, I agree. I understand there's limitations, which is why I don't know that we can compete with Southern Cal. But we should be able to, with the talent we have right now, beat Pitt at home. I don't think there's any...
We should be able to.
Right, and if we don't, I believe that is a question that does make you have to ask the questions again. That's why this game is so important.
Look, you can't reevaluate the program on every snapshot. Snapshot, reevaluate the program. Snapshot, do it again. Snapshot.
This two-game stretch is...
You got to run the video over a course of time, and there has to be a question of how and why that deconstructed. You're dealing with kids... In athletics is inherently unpredictable. That's why USC lost to Oregon State
Okay. Look, those broad sweeping analysis, I understand what you're saying. However, this two-game stretch is more than a snapshot. It is a longer stretch of video that would make you say, wait a minute, rewind that. I think there's a problem here. We need to look at this again. And that's what I'm saying. These two games represent a real barometer for the program. Pitt, especially, BC, you know, I don't want to say I can accept the loss there. I would understand losing on the road to BC, who's a pretty good football team.
I do not think
that applies to Pitt this weekend. We got to beat these
guys. Did the loss to North Carolina indicate the direction of the program?
No, it clearly didn't.
Why?
Because we were a very young team going on the road against a very good opponent. And, you know, had we, as we talked about, same with Michigan State, how we played those games.
That's all I'm saying. You're one game difference from a very young team going on the road. We're still a very young team, except we beat a crappy, we had a scrimmage out on the West Coast, essentially. So we're still the same team we were against North Carolina.
We're at home. There's a huge difference
there. And so the level of expectation is up slightly. But you can't look at the game as a snapshot direction of the program issue.
You said the two games combined, now you're changing it to be the one snapshot, the Pitt game. You said, what I'm arguing with you about is if we go 0-2, I think that represents questions about is this thing going in the right direction? We disagree.
It's how it happens.
I just don't think you can lose both these games with what's riding on these games, who we are and who the opponent is, and say, nah, everything's still okay. We'll wrap it up there. And hopefully we won't have to readdress this question because it will be a moot point after the Irish take care of business.
That's right.
Versus Pittsburgh on Saturday.
And gratefully, didn't have Brammer weighing in on it as well.
So. No, I needed Brammer here. I don't say this often, but he's right on this issue. He'd agree with me. If you have any questions or comments or think Ed's wrong, send us an email, info@domandomer.com. We'll see you next time.